My friends, in Jesus' grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior. Again, the words of our gospel reading this morning as Jesus fulfills an ancient prophecy by Isaiah from the fourth chapter of Matthew's gospel. Leaving Nazareth, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and the shadow of death, on them light has dawned. And from then, that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This is God's word. Please be seated. I remember from the days of my youth, I was in downtown Iowa City once, paying my newspaper bill. I was a newspaper carrier. I had to go to town a couple of times a month to pay a bill. And there was a blind man who was making his way slowly down the streets of downtown Iowa City with his cane, going back and forth, feeling for any obstacles. And I couldn't help but watch him. I was fascinated. I thought to myself, you know, I shouldn't be staring at him. But then it occurred to me the man is blind, so he can't see me staring at him. So I stared at him. I was absolutely fascinated. And I wondered what it must be like to live every moment of your life in darkness like that. And that day, I remember I went home and I decided I was going to try to experience, if only for a little while, the blindness, the darkness of that man, to see if I could get around our house without opening my eyes. So I remember the first time I started in the upstairs bathroom and I closed my eyes, and then in my self-imposed darkness, I slowly made my way down three sets of steps all the way into the basement, and my journey concluded as I reached out and touched the washing machine, which was the goal I had set for myself. And then throughout the day, I remember I kept at it. I would challenge myself to go from point A to point B in the house and see if I could do it in the darkness. And you know what I discovered? I got pretty good at it. I knew my childhood home, I guess, by heart. And I was able to make my way through the house pretty well, seeing everything with my mind's eye. And it helped that my mom was a real stickler for keeping everything picked up. There was no clutter that I had to worry about tripping over. Did any of you ever play that game? Did you, by the way, hear this week about Lawrence Popp? He is a wealthy businessman from Wisconsin who was sentenced this last Tuesday to 1 year in jail. For what? For pretending to be blind so that he could collect a $175,000 Social Security disability benefit. Who knew that my childhood game could be so lucrative? and so illegal too, of course. I suppose most normal people probably don't choose to practice walking around in the dark like I did that when I was young, but especially not the sort of darkness that we're talking about here in our Bible readings today, the spiritual darkness that oppresses people's hearts and souls and minds. Although, you know, come to think of it, as we've been reading the scriptures this morning, it seems like Zebulun and Naphtali in the Old Testament, well, they almost enjoyed their darkness of their lives without the Lord. The prophets, God bless them, they tried their level best to shine the light of God's love and of God's word in that dark land. But the people were apparently intent on leaving these blinders on. And by their stiff-necked refusal to fear and love and trust the Lord, they brought all kinds of darkness into their lives and into their land, especially the constant harassment of the Canaanite tribes who were still in and amongst them, and then finally a crushing defeat, as I mentioned to the children, a crushing defeat at the hands of the Assyrians, from which Zebulun and Naphtali would never recover. But it's almost as if Israel preferred the darkness of their sin and of sin's consequences to the light of God's love and blessings. And they got so used to it. They got so accustomed to their life in the darkness that they didn't even realize anymore that they were in the darkness. And is the same thing happening to our nation, do you think? Are we abandoning more and more the light of the Lord, and so more and more we are becoming a nation that walks in the dark? And we're paying a steep price for that in our daily lives. The violence and the crime. This awful knockout game that you've seen where people sucker punch somebody unexpectedly just because it's fun and they're bored. Brokenness in our families and marriages, strife in relationships, corruption in government, the murder of 55 million babies since Roe v. Wade, mass shootings, addictions. You even have to show your ID to buy a can of spray paint. That's how dark it's gotten. And yet we're so accustomed to this darkness that we live in that we start to almost feel comfortable with it. You know, we figure out how to get our way or to grope our way around. We're going to make it through. We find a way to survive. And after a while, we kind of forget just how dark it really is. And that it happened to Zebulun and Naphtali, arguably happening in our own nation. And I think it can happen to individuals as well. We get so accustomed to living in spiritual darkness of all kinds that we don't even really think about it anymore. We just kind of accept it. That's the way life is. We resigned ourselves to it. We figure out how to deal with it and cope with it daily. So maybe for you, it's the long, bleak winter of persistent grief or repressive loneliness. Or maybe it's the darkness of uncertainty about what tomorrow holds for you and worrying about that. Or maybe it's the deep shadows of unrelenting worry about your children or about elderly parents or job security and finances. Or maybe it's the deep darkness of depression or chronic illness and pain. We have been walking around in this stuff for so long that we hardly even realize anymore just how dark it is. Until God, in His grace, gives us a rare and beautiful glimpse of His light. Many of you remember that just 2 months before our family came here to Napoleon area in 1998, I lost my mother to cancer, September 3rd, 1998. And for a while, after an experience like that, as many of you know by your own experiences, the darkness of grief is acute. And it's like it's always there. It's like a pall that covers every facet of your life. It's very noticeable. You go to sleep thinking of the person. You wake up thinking of the person. It's always there on your heart and mind. And then some time passes. And you start to think your heart is healing because you're not thinking about it all the time anymore. And that's about where I was, or about the fall of 1999 or so. Everyone was thinking that about that time, about, you know, Y2K, and I was busy being the pastor of this congregation, new to you, and you were new to me, and getting to know all of you. And it seemed like the darkness of the grief was starting to lift a little. And then one night, I remember that fall, I had a dream, very vivid, a dream about my mom. First time I had dreamed about her since she had passed away. And there she was again, alive and well and happy. And I remember being conscious in my dream that, you know, she had died, but there she was again. She's back. And I was so happy to see her again. She was just doing dishes in the kitchen, nothing big. That must have been my memory of mom, I guess, was washing dishes. But it's as if a light turned on again in my life. And it was so good to be back with her until suddenly I woke up. And almost immediately the darkness descended upon me again as the reality of losing her hit me full force again. It felt almost like a mean-spirited trick, as though something
precious had been given to me and then just as quickly had been snatched away again. And I remember thinking to myself that perhaps that dream had been a gift of God to me to allow me for just a few fleeting moments to go back in time to a brighter, happier time with my parents. But now as I think about it, I wonder if the real gift of that dream was not instead to give me a glimpse of the promise in Christ of what is yet to come, of that bright day when all the wounds are going to be healed. And we're going to be together again with all of our Christian loved ones, and we're going to laugh, and the light will forever dispel and displace the darkness. Only God's light shining on us offers us that kind of healing, that kind of relief from the oppressive darkness that we're living in. Only He who is God of God and light of light. Matthew tells us that He, the light of this world, was traveling around and living in Galilee, in the area of Nazareth and Capernaum, in the Old Testament tribal lands of Zebulun and Naphtali, thus fulfilling this prophecy of Isaiah, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. And so that territory, with such a dark history of sin and of sin's sad consequences, is suddenly blessed to see the dawning of God's redeeming grace. Christ, the light of the world, has come. And He's preaching the good news of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Not only to usher in for Zebulun and Naphtali a bright morning after their long dark night, but also forever to bring light to the darkness that is oppressing you. Here's what Paul said to the Colossians. He said, God has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and has transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So His light is a future promise of that bright day when we are going to live whole and happy and healed forever in a city that has no need of lights, no need of the sun or the moon, because the glory of God gives it light, and the lamp, its lamp is the Lamb of God, so says Revelation. But you don't have to wait until that bright day to bask in the light of God's love and of His Savior. The wonder of His love is that already right here and now He is lifting the darkness. When I lost my parents, Christ was already lifting that dark pall of grief with the promise that all who abide in Jesus Christ are going to live forever in a kingdom of light. When the guilt of a particular sin is haunting your nights, Christ shines the bright light of His redeeming love through the gospel and the sacraments, the sign and the seal of His full forgiveness and of peace with God for you. When finances are tight, Christ is already penetrating the darkness with the promise that He knows what His children need and He will provide it, and in the end He will give you an inheritance of the world, of this earth. And when loneliness makes your days dark and long, Christ comes into that darkness with the promise that He's never going to forsake you, and He is going to bring you at last into the eternal fellowship of the saints. And when you are oppressed by the dark fears about an uncertain future, Christ steps into that darkness as well. And He holds out the promise to you, the bright promise that He holds your future in His hands. And He's going to see you safely through to the security of His eternal bright kingdom. Oh, and if the dark shadow of boredom happens to be hanging over your days, Christ has yet another way to bring light to your life by his call to follow him and to serve him. Follow me, he says. I'll make you fishers of men. And just like that, life is bright again with a grand purpose for being alive. And you have got more than enough to do, because every person out there in your family or in your neighborhood or your circle of friends, every person out there who is still groping around in the darkness is a mission project for you. If they're being oppressed by the darkness of financial worries, you can share with them. If they are struggling with guilt, you can tell them of a God who loves them and of a Savior who redeems them. If they're caught up in a long night of grief, you can give them a shoulder to cry on and an ear to hear. If they're lonely, you can visit them. If you're hungry, you can feed them. If they're friendless, you can befriend them. There's no end to what needs to be done. And as you do it, you will find that your days are filled with purpose and happiness in Christ as he uses you to fish for men and to bring to them the light of his love. So, there is no need for you to be walking around in the darkness anymore. For the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. For those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them has light dawned. In the name of Jesus, the light of this world, amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.